Vuol dire che nel no.
Dale's muted.
Of course. I can't start the show without being muted. Hey there, everyone, and welcome to the show. Now that you can actually hear what I'm saying. You know, we just did a show over at Survivalist Prepper, and it worked out absolutely perfect. And then I come over here. It's like the curse of the Duff and Dale YouTube channel or something. I don't know what it is. But tonight we've got Sarah on with us. And we're gonna go over some lessons learned from Texas. We also have Kevin and Denise in the chat too, so we got a whole bunch of Texans here tonight. But we're gonna talk about some of the things she went through, as well as her recent audio drama that she's doing, which Brian and I were both a part of. A lot of people have been a part of in the preparedness community that you probably know of. James Walton. Trying to think of who else is involved with it, Sarah.
Survivor Jane's on it. That was awesome. Jordan Smith, Ben Brenham's on there. Of course, Lisa's on there. Man, so many people from the community. I can't even name them all.
Well, you know what? I've got a picture right here. So, Dave Jones.
There we go. Yep, the NBC guy, Ryan Buford. He does some great, great voices. He's just awesome. Phil Rabelais from the Matter of Facts podcast. Yep. He does Virgis's role. L. Douglas Hogan. He's got a huge role in it. He's Swenson. So he's like the main villain from the whole story. And, you know, he does some great work as well. I think you've had him on before.
Not yet.
No?
Not a bad idea.
Okay.
Though.
Yeah, he's doing good stuff. So, yeah, thank you for that assist there.
Yeah.
I was like, there's just too many. I just reached out to my whole network, and everybody was like, yeah, let's do it. So
I especially liked your husband. I remember when we first started doing this, your husband doing the Scottish accent, Brock, on the airplane.
Yeah.
I cracked.
Yeah, that's his Midwestern accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know, eh?
Yeah. I was laughing with Lisa. I was like, what accent is that? And I was like, I'm going with Scottish.
That's like my wife's from Michigan, and I picked up a lot of it along the way accent.
Yeah. And your son does an absolutely fantastic job of narrating the whole thing too. That's one of the things that, I mean, there's a lot of, it turned out pretty well when you think about how it's just a bunch of people kind of piecing and parting everything together, and all the work I'm sure that you had to do with it. It turned
Sarah,
out pretty
before,
well.
Before we go any far, why don't you tell everybody what this is about, like what you did, so that way they're kind of read in
on point with us. Okay. So I wrote the Changing Earth series. It's an 8-book series, and I'm pitching it to Hollywood out, trying to get it to go to the TV screen and all that. But in the meantime, I was like, wouldn't it be fun to do, instead of just an audio book, do like the 50s radio show, or like, you know, War of the Worlds type thing, where you do the sound effects and you have all the different characters doing the voices and everything. So I just reached out to the survival community. The Changing Earth series is about rapid climate change and how it affects humans. So it starts out with this gal, Erica, and her survival story. And that's what the novels are about. But I have other characters that develop later on in the novels, and I'm writing their stories from the very beginning as well. So it's actually Erica's story, a guy who's in the self-defense contracting realm, Cole Virgis, and then TJ Swenson. And he was like an MMA bounty hunter type guy before the world kind of collapses. So I'm doing all three of their stories in tandem in the show. And just how climate change and these earthquakes, it starts with the Great Quake, just a series of disasters that just plummets the world into chaos, basically, and how all their survival stories are going. So if you've read my novels before, you're going to get more out of the audio drama because there's new stories in there. If you haven't read my novels before, well, the audio drama, you're going to like, oh, I want to hear the novels have more depth to them, because I can only present so much in a half hour radio show. So,
and Brian and I were just on Survivalist Prepper talking about long-term type collapses, and that's basically what your book series is, going through that initial earthquake stuff. And now it's your most recent stuff is some pretty hardcore. I mean, you've got hardcore SHTF stuff.
Yeah,
going
it's on. It starts with the great quake. So I always wanted to do from the disaster and forward, because everybody like brings it up to the disaster and stops, or it's like a time lapse after the disaster, right? So I do from the disaster all the way forward. I think I end up like 15 years away from the disaster by the end of the book series. Yeah. So, you go through it.
I've got a little clip.
I don't want to give away the end.
I've got a little clip I wanted to play here, but where would people go to get the whole, at least what you have out right now, audio segment of it? I know you did one podcast.
We're up to episode 5 right now. The season's going to be 12 episodes long. We're up to 5 right now. They can go to my website, www.changingearthseries.com, and you just click on the audio drama button. It's all over my front screen. There you go. So yeah, if you click on, if you go up to the top there and you click on the, see the Changing Earth audio drama, click there. And then that is, when it comes up, that's all the episodes that are out. So you just click on the title and you hear that segment. Now for my members, my paid members, they get 1 week early access to the show. And I also have episode 1 to 6 commercial free and a binge episode. So that's like 2 hours long of just listening to the audios. And I say commercial free. Yes, there are commercials in there because I was sponsored by some awesome sponsors for the project. But it's everybody who does the show gets to have a little piece in it. So all the podcasters that got involved in the project, I gave them all a time slot to go ahead and promote their show. So it really brings the network together. So yeah, you're listening to some commercials, but that's all good people promoting quality prepper survivalist content.
Yeah. Well, I've got this. It's only a minute clip of all the stuff. So it's really kind of out of context completely. But I didn't have time to find Brian's section. Otherwise, I'd have put that in here.
He's in the later shows. It's not out yet.
Oh, is he? Okay. And then
Lisa's, the best for last, buddy. Say the best for the last.
I was going to grab Lisa's playing the little girl, but I didn't get that either. So, but I do have this clip.
That's so good.
You're going to have to explain who the actors are after we play it. But here's this one right here.
Swenson sits at his table eating his dinner when Yuri storms through the door.
We got one of their commanders.
It's about time. Let's see what you brought me.
The two men head out to the training yard, where Serge stands with a small team watching over their captive.
Excellent work, Serge.
I got him softened up for you, TJ.
Your team is getting double rations for a week.
Don't thank me yet. This pig is a stubborn one. Oh. He's not talking.
Pain will solve that.
Swenson thinks back to his many lessons in pain with Mr. Lee while training in the gym. Despite the challenges, Swenson looks back on his memories fondly.
Pain is the great equalizer, son. No matter how big a man is, he can only take so much pain.
So who were the preppers in the voices for that one?
Okay, so Swenson is L. Douglas Hogan. And it's kind of funny because Doug is actually a pastor. So, and he's playing like the most evil villain of all time. And so he doesn't do any cursing. So I leave it up to him to creatively figure out how he wants to do that. But his voice is so perfect for the role. And then Ryan Buford, he does both of the Russian guys, and there's a French guy in there. And so the first time I actually heard Ryan's real voice, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, that's what his voice really sounds like, because I'm used to hearing him as the Russian guy. And so Serge and Yuri are twins, and he does both those voices, which is definitely a challenge, you know. to do an accent and then do two different tones of it.
Yeah.
And then James Hart's son, George Hart, is Mr. Lee. And that's like the guy who raised Swenson. So he's like this psychopath guy.
Who's nice.
It's pretty.
Yeah. It gets a little, this whole, this book in general is a little bit, it's kind of the you know, what the preppers kind of like, that hardcore, the S has definitely hit the fan in this book series. Even, I think Survivor Jane, was she was some kind of madam or something like that?
Yeah, Survivor Jane plays Dolores, and she's a brothel. She owns the brothel in Reno that has like the medical facility beneath it. And if you haven't read the book series, I don't want to go on where that character ends up, but yeah, she does a good job with it too, and was all up for it. I told her, you know, you're gonna be the brothel owner, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I can see her totally just being, yeah, I'll do that. Why not?
Yeah, she was on board and does a fantastic job. So I was tickled silly. I just, you know, you can't get a no if you don't ask. So I reached out and she was more than willing to do it. Everybody, I can't thank everybody enough, including you, Dale. I mean, you have a ton of lines in there. Different characters.
And Dale has a tough time reading lines on a good day.
Hey, she always gives me like three to choose from. And I like that.
Because I don't know what sort of you know, inflection or whatever, so I'm like, I'll just try do it a few different ways. And there was a lot of cool parts I could have got little sound bites of, but we ended up taking this whole podcast playing your show. So if anybody wants to listen to it, definitely head over to Sarah Hathaway, author sarahhathaway.com. And I'll leave the I'm going to put this out as a Survivalist Prepper podcast too, so I'll make sure and put the link in the show notes.
The changing,
and all that stuff.
If you just do changingearthseries.com, it gets you to the same place. It's just easier than authorsarahhathaway.com.
Gotcha.
You
okay. Know?
It's a long website to remember. So Changing Earth Series is just a lot more simplistic.
Yeah. Or just go to your search engine and just the Changing Earth podcast, and then you'll find it, and then just click a few links and get there. Very cool. I want to get to some of the stuff that went down in Texas, and you know, you moved from California, and you weren't necessarily in like the coastal regions. You were in the mountains, right? In California.
I was in between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe, in a town called Cool, California.
So you moved to Texas thinking it's going to be hotter than hell and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, everything's frozen.
Colder than hell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Michigan originally, so I've been in the cold before. In Auburn, like cool area where I lived, it like snows a little bit. It's probably gone by noon. It's really similar to what Texas is typically.
Yeah.
We in California, we couldn't afford to heat our house. Okay. That's how expensive energy is there. And we had a log cabin. So when we moved out here, we were like, oh, we're not burning a fire at all. We can afford to heat our house. We don't have to worry about that. So we had no firewood. Huge prepper mistake. So I'll own my mistakes every time. And that was a biggie. I wish we would have had some, but you know. So Valentine's Day, that evening, it got cold. And the cold came first. Before any kind of snow or anything, the cold came first, and it just got really, really, really cold, and it just got colder and colder and colder. And then I think we did pretty good that first day power wise, but then the power shut off. Oh, the other thing about Texas, we have heat pumps. So when buying a new house, know what kind of heating system you have, because we have heat pumps. And they don't like to run below 31 degrees.
What does a heat pump do?
It's from what I understand, it's kind of geothermal as well. It's much more efficient, but it has to have like your air conditioning unit outside. It has to be running to heat your house. It's not just like.
Well, Yeah. Well, I've never heard of a pumping heat.
It helps,
I mean, I know what a furnace is, but
yeah, I got a heat pump. It makes margaritas.
Like, what are you... Yeah, I mean,
I saw that. I saw that look on your face.
It helps like the heat be more efficient, I guess. But it runs through like your air conditioning system outside.
I figured it was something hippie green energy. I don't know, geothermal. Anyway, sorry.
This is Texas. This isn't hippie land.
Yeah, that's true.
So it froze. It froze solid. Once it got moisture on it, all that stuff, it just froze up completely. So now we have no idea how we're supposed to heat our house. So Brock, you know, the adapt and overcome kind of guy that he is, he figured out that we could go to emergency power, and then it's only our unit that's in the attic running. So it's not as efficient and it doesn't heat as well, but it heats. And that was important. But then the power went out. So the power was out for us probably like 36 hours. Just to the point where we were like, oh man, if this keeps up, our pipes are going to freeze and we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
So yeah. Food wise, we're okay. You know me, I'm ready. Water wise, we're okay. Our water was still running. There was questions over potability in some areas, but I have an Alexa Pure. I can basically pour pond water into that thing and it's going to be good. So we're all right there. We just shut down every external area and brought a mattress out into the family room and just piled every blanket in the house on it and just kind of camped out for the time that we had to endure the power outage.
What'd you use to cook?
We have gas on our stove. So we could still light it, you know, manually. We couldn't use the electric light, but we could still heat. So we're boiling water and whatnot. What I never thought about was, yes, the boiling water helps to heat the house, but the condensation inside could freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, it didn't get bad, but it was something we didn't think about when doing that.
How cold did it get into your house?
It was colder in the house than it was in the refrigerator. So it was, 28 degrees.
Below freezing.
Was like the coldest it got in our house. Yeah.
How many people died down there?
I'm not sure how many people actually died. Texans are pretty dang hardy. And that's one of the major differences I saw between, because I endured a lot of outages in California. You know, we had all kinds of rolling blackouts. And that's one of the big difference I saw in the people was they weren't like on their cell phones in the grocery stores complaining about it being a third world country. They really banded together. If one person had power, they'd like everybody would be at their house and then they'd go to whoever's house where the power came on. And then they were kind of rotating and making it work, you know. So I'm not sure what the death toll was. I know we have a church on like every corner down here. It's great because in California, there's a bar on every corner. But here there's a church on every corner. So I'm a bit much bigger fan of there being a church on every corner. And most of them opened up as like heating centers for people who are out of power, who are older, any of the homeless population, things like that. So it was really cool to see how the state rallied.
Yeah. Were there a lot of people that that you noticed? Because I'm sure you guys were, even though you kind of made the whole firewood mistake, you guys were probably far more prepared than the average person. Did you see a lot of that? You know, people just kind of, I don't know, just freaking
Walmart
out. Like, what
closed.
The hell do we do?
Have you ever heard of Walmart closing?
For them to close, it's got to be pretty big because for them to waste money, to lose money, yeah.
Yeah, they close. I've never heard of that happening. So in Texas, they don't have plows, like in the rural areas where we are. It's like maybe in the city they have some trucks that have it's not like a snowplow like you're thinking about. It's like a four-wheel drive vehicle with a shovel on the front, you know.
Yeah.
And they have those like in Dallas and stuff, but out everywhere that we are, there is no plows. It's the first area I've ever lived in where you're not like waking up in the morning and they're plowing your roads when it snowed. So that was really, really different. And Walmart closed because they had no product on the shelf. And this is less than a week. This was like 4 days and they had nothing.
I believe.
And
it.
Pretty much the same with the grocery store because they couldn't get the big rigs in. And the generator at the grocery store burned out. So,
so in the chat, Broken Nomad says that he read that they had a report of 58 deaths. That's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jay Faust,
given the wide scale, the population of the state and the wide scale disaster that we had all the way down, you know, to Houston, Corpus Christi and all that, that's actually pretty low numbers for what we just went through.
Unless you're one of the 58.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, we don't want to lose any.
But Jay Faust asked, he says, "How was the Waffle House open?" Now, I did see a thing in, I saw, I think it was out of maybe Austin or Dallas, somewhere that obviously down in Texas. And it was these two like Taco Bell workers. And they were like just crushed. They're sitting there, their heads are hanging down low, and they look shell shocked. And apparently, when they opened up, they got power and they opened up. And since nobody else had power and they were one of the only places, they had a run. They went through all their food for like the next, like the 2 days in like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And they just looked wrecked. There's like, there's lettuce and tortillas and stuff everywhere. They got moshed. but hopefully the Waffle House was open because, man, nothing like an awful scattered covered smothered chunk top that diced in the middle of a freezing snowstorm.
I saw that they were like doing emergency food from anybody who had like most of the fast food places that had food and things like that. On our grocery store, the big rig couldn't get into it. We were out of bacon and ground beef, milk, obviously went pretty quick, you know, a lot of the staples. But they started just taking four-wheel drive trucks over to the distribution center and just loading up the four-wheel drive trucks and bringing them in. Because at least those trucks could move and they could get product to the people that needed it. So, like I say, it was really cool to see the difference of the rallying.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you run out of bacon, that's an SHTF disaster right there. Like, I'm sorry. Bacon makes everything better, even disasters.
I mean, you know, you're in Texas when the first product to go is bacon.
Hell, did you get a heater? No, but I got a side of bacon.
Right. Yeah, there was no generators to be found anywhere. Like, nowhere. They were gone.
You know what I heard too, which was kind of interesting, was, you know, everybody's talking about all the stuff that happens to all the people and the people being without power and all that. But with Texas, all the livestock, you're just talking about pigs and stuff. I'm sure there's hogs and stuff out there. Of course, you're not going to want to go out and, you know, hunting in freezing weather and all that. But somebody, I forget where I heard it, but they were talking about the ranchers and the livestock and keeping that livestock, you know, basically watered and fed and all that stuff. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about, but for 4 days of not being able to water your livestock and all that, that would be a pretty big challenge too. I don't know what the death toll along among the cattle is, but that I guess they could probably last a few days. So the big difference
that I noticed, like, they're not set up for the cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, up north, you know you're going to get these temperatures. You know what's going to happen. And honestly, it doesn't even make sense to really set things up for that cold because it doesn't happen that often. It's the same thing like with the snowplows. So dairy facilities and things like that, once you lose power, now everything is freezing and breaking and you have big problems because not only are your animals cold, but your whole facility is now freezing and breaking and anything that has any moisture in it is freezing. We can talk about the power plants in a bit. I did a big piece on that on my podcast. So we can talk about, you know, what happened with the power situation. But when it just comes down to those simple things that, like up north, you'd be like, what? You can't handle this? You know, you can't deal with this? Well, it's because it doesn't happen down here that often. And actually, this is the first time in history that the whole state was under a winter watch. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to have yourself set up for that. It's a lot of expense for something that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and that's why I'm sure these power companies are, that's why it happens, because it's an expense that isn't necessary according to them, when it, you know, that something that's not going to, it's kind of a cross your fingers type thing. Now, Liberated Lady said in the chat, right, you can get canned bacon. We've actually got some of the Yoder's canned bacon. It is actually pretty damn good. And it's basically just, it's expensive, but we've got a few of them that are just kind of tucked away. I think we probably ought to eat them pretty soon. They're like 4 or 5 years old, but, we've tried one. We've got, canned pork, canned, beef dices. It's more expensive than the, they're pretty expensive, but it's, I mean, when you're eating freeze dried food and rice and beans every day, guarantee you that the meat and especially bacon.
Yep.
Yeah. And it actually tastes like
bacon. We were already getting sick of canned goods.
Yeah. I tell you one thing that sucks is
it didn't take long.
Canned tuna is and not the grocery store stuff, but I can't remember where we got it, but it was, I think it was like Augustin Farms or something. It was horrible. I mean, bones in it and
freeze dried tuna.
No, just canned tuna, not freeze dried. It's like, it's canned tuna, and it was.
Oh, I eat canned tuna like every day for lunch, just about. Salmon.
What the hell are you talking about, Dale?
It was fish. Salmon. It was
the market
disgusting.
Is full of canned tuna. What are you talking about?
Are you saying canned salmon? Because canned salmon is kind of nasty.
It may have been one of those damn things.
It's something that came out of a can was horrible one time in Dale's life.
But it would have been good if I was starving, but that was nasty. But anyway, the bacon, all this to say the bacon was good.
Yeah, I'd probably just can my own. You know, it's not tough, so just fresh can it.
Yep.
Save some money. It's a good idea, actually. I'm going to try it now.
So you were mentioning the power companies and all that, and I know there's a lot of finger-pointing and all that crap going on. And I think that the main kind of issue is that I think it's a money thing and people weren't prepared for it, but being down there and kind of getting that localized news rather than, you know, the stuff we get here. What are your thoughts on, you know, everything that was it a cascading type situation where one thing after another
so
just happened?
The government has been subsidizing the green energy, right? Heavily. And so it's really thrown the balance of power sources out of whack. And so now 25%, because Texas is on its own grid, right? So Texas has its own power. We are connected. We can buy and sell from other places, including Mexico. But the lines aren't big enough to give us the amount of power we needed at that time. So 25% of the power is generated through wind generation. And people say, well, Canada has wind generation too, and their stuff doesn't freeze in the winter. Again, they winterize it. And there's just no sense in doing that in Texas because this is just so unusual for this to happen. Well, the wind turbines froze. And so on that night of Valentine's Day, when that demand spiked, and the supply went down because those natural resources go, or the, you know, your solar, your wind generation went down. The lines have to have a certain charge to keep supplying power to people. And when they lose that charge, then the coal plants, the natural gas plants, things like that, they start shutting down because they have to have charged lines to be able to get the power out. Now, power, you know, Dale, we've done episodes on power generation and stuff. It just kind of goes over my head on why they need to have those charged lines. But that is the bottom line. They need to be charged. So when they get too low, then the turbines at these plants, they just start spinning out of control. They go into a shutdown. So that's what was happening. It was having this cascading effect where the natural gas plants and the coal plants started shutting down as well because they were mismanaging it at that point. They just weren't expecting it to happen. And everybody was kind of asleep at the wheel. If they wouldn't have caught it, we could have been down for like months, they said, that it could have been really, really bad. So then when those natural gas plants went down, the natural gas, it has to be really cold for it to actually freeze. But the orifices and things that the natural gas goes through, they have moisture in them. And those started freezing and cracking. So it took time to be able to get that all back online. Your demand still really spiked. Now your supply is going down and down and down. They had to just start shutting people off so that to force that demand to go down. And then the billing issue comes up because some people are charged on the price of demand, basically. So their bill can fluctuate with the supply and demand, which is, I don't think that's pretty cool. But that's where the billing problems came in. But that's what happened. And it was interesting to watch this gentleman, this video that I was watching, because he wrote about it 6 months before this event. He thought for sure it was going to happen during the summertime, but it actually happened during the wintertime because of this event. And he explains that it's the same thing that affects California, which, having been in California and been through those blackouts there in California, nobody said anything like that to us. They just pumped the people full of fear that, the wildfires, it's too windy. Fear, 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 fear. We're going to shut you down because of that. Yet they have generators out in the field to keep the AT&T lines going. And you're like, dude, it's not wildfire when you have a hot generator sitting out in the field of grass, you know? So that was really interesting to me too. I actually learned more about what's going on. And he's saying it's because of the government subsidies that our whole balance is getting out of whack because we're not balancing our sources. We have supply going up. These natural wind and solar, they just don't generate as much power as coal or nuclear or natural gas. And we're putting those aside in favor of these. And then everybody's going to come home and plug in their electric cars. How's that supposed to work out?
Well, and I think that's the main thing with all of it, too, because I hear people pointing fingers at everybody. It's the green energy. It's this. It's that. There's a whole number of things that go into this, what made it happen. And I think the main issue is just lack of planning. I've heard things that the turbines and all that are just so much more expensive than the natural gas. But then again, you're trying to go away from those fossil fuels and stuff like that. So it's whenever it's, especially for politicians, whenever it's expedient for them, politically expedient, they're going to bash on green energy or they're going to bash on fossil fuels. And kind of
they're
like,
they're going to politicize everything.
Yeah. Kind of like California deflect. And
well, they can plan on the power grid. I mean, you can plan on having, you know, a Texas-sized disaster, but you have to plan on it. You have to put the money into it. Like you said, you know, like, well, do we need snow plows in Texas? Probably not. You know, maybe once every 20 years or something like that, which doesn't make it cost effective. But when it comes to the power grid, I think in the notes or in the chat, Jay Faust said that, yeah, exactly. The weakest part of the whole system nationwide is the power grid. And it's so, you know, how do you, they didn't plan as well for that integration. Hey, go ahead and put solar, put wind power, put all this different power in. So you charge everything. That'd be great. But you need to be able to make sure, you know, it's going to be able to work in those 100-year events. I mean, Jesus, I have to have flood insurance on a house that has never flooded. I've owned it for years. It's never flooded since it's been around almost probably 100 years, but they say it's in the 100-year floodplain. And so now, like, the insurance rates are going up on it to the point where, like, it's almost like, I don't know, $5,000 or $6,000. It's not a fancy house. It's like a small little house.
Talk to me about that off air. I'll help you out with that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, insurance is my shtick.
Yeah. No, I'm getting ready to take care of that, but I will talk to you, but it's, you know, it's, they make us pay for the 100 years worth of flood insurance. Mm-hmm. Oh, there goes my light.
They make us pay for
the 100 years of flood insurance.
Electricity.
Yeah. Right. Texas. Yeah. Where's my power, Texas? Yeah. Why you shut me off?
No, I can. So they are talking about winterizing the natural gas plants because that's just smart. And then, you know, all the wind turbine, there's like acres and acres and acres. I don't know if you've ever driven across northern Texas, but it is like cow fields with wind turbines forever up there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how true it is. I haven't researched it enough, but I've heard that the what you get out of the wind turbines They're way more expensive to make than the energy that you get out of them. But at the same time, you know, it's that whole renewable energy thing. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not one way or the other with the whole wind turbine things, other than if you're going to have a situation like this, you need to be ready for it. And if that means fossil fuels, that means fossil fuels. And don't go so far. It's great in the future when all this green energy shit gets figured out. But right now, if it's not working, it's not working. I mean,
well, if they would have managed it so that if they would have started the rolling blackout sooner, right? I know that sounds like weird, but if they would have, they could have just like shut this area down for a half hour, shut that area down for a half hour, shut this area down for a half hour, shut, and then everybody would have stayed heated, right? And we wouldn't have had to have such prolonged power outages if they would have just managed it a little better right off the bat. But because they missed that first window, that's why other plants started going down, which just exasperated the whole situation.
Yeah.
I think it sucks. Those cracked O-rings get going. Once you crack an O-ring, man, you're done.
You can't have a gas out of cracked O-ring. It's just not happening.
I think what they ought to do, and which it never worked because people have really short memory spans and all of that, but have some sort of campaign to tell people to, you know, prepare for these types of things. That, you know, kind of like they did in the old days, you know, the victory gardens and stuff like that, telling people to have ways to do things on their own for situations like this, because evidently they're not going to spend the money to fix this stuff, even though they're talking about it now. But then again, this is a 100-year thing, so you can talk about that and everybody will be on board for the next 6 months until after, you know, next winter or whatever, and then everybody's completely forgotten about it again. So,
well, it went from -2 to almost 80 today.
Jesus.
In 1 week. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's already forgotten right now. It's nice and warm. We're in our bikinis out there, you know? Yeah, so,
the people who aren't swimming in their apartment.
That'd be a good name for a podcast or something about, you know, like the changing earth or something like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Swimming in bikini?
I was going to say, how far down the rabbit hole do you want me to go on this? Because, like, I can tell you about how often we're going to be getting this 100-year weather now. And we could tinfoil up, or I could go into some scientific research. You know, like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go, you know?
I'll just put full screen on you because I'll end up falling asleep if you do that.
Right, exactly.
You'll just have to call me and wake me up before the show's over.
No, there's definitely some earth changes going on that you need to be aware of. And I'll just say, Suspicious Observers on YouTube, he has a catastrophe series out or catastrophe playlist. And so if you're really interested in space weather and how our Earth is going to be changing, you should definitely check that out because there's some good stuff coming. And you can go ahead and listen to the podcast that I just did on Sunday with Chin. We went through a lot of this power stuff, but we also talked a little bit more about what's going to be happening with the Earth. And I'm going to be going a lot more into it in the coming episodes because...
Are you saying we're going to get plinked by an asteroid?
not an asteroid. The polar caps are actually flipping right now. So it is happening. They are on the move and they are moving rapidly. And it's weakening our magnetic shield from spatial radiation. And then we're also going into this area of space that's less protective. We'll put it that way. And the sun does this 12,000 year like nova cycle where it sheds the outside of itself. So we're about to get, Like, do you really want to go to work on Monday? Because these are the theories I'm starting to talk about now.
Well, that's stuff that we don't really pay attention to. We're so, especially me and Brian, we're so focused on government and with 2020, 2021, with all the craziness going on, it's hard to focus on anything, but you don't think about that stuff. I guess in your opinion, anyway, I know you're not some kind of scientist or whatever, but Does that have something to do with, you know, people talking about climate change and humans impacting the climate and all this? Does that have a lot to do with it, or more to do with the things going on than cows farting?
It has more to do with with the natural cycles of our planet. So 12,000 years ago, people went underground. It is evidence. That is fact. And we don't really know why. We don't know what happened. But we're starting to figure it out more and more. Last year, in 2020, we broke the fastest Earth spins, right? And we broke the fastest day 28 times. So that's not anything you're going to notice. Those are milliseconds. Like, you're not going to notice that. But you can bet that our magnetic core is noticing that. And as the poles shift and it starts to mess with that magnetic energy, we're going to see a lot more earthquakes. We're going to see a lot more volcanic activity, all of these things. So in my mind, it's kind of a race between the planet and the people. I'm like, who's going to just us first, you know? So just be ready, right?
Brian and I were talking about how I don't prepare for earthquakes. So what you're saying is I should start preparing for some damn earthquakes.
Yeah. And, you know, Yellowstone, as far as my opinion goes, I this is just from stuff that I've researched. I think that Yellowstone is cut off from the magma chamber of the Earth. So it's just a big floating magma chamber. And we're not going to see much from Yellowstone. But, man, the whole West Coast is just riddled with volcanoes. Mount Hood, Mount Shasta, the one that erupted, come on, back in the day.
St. Helens?
Mount St. Helens. Okay, just tons of them up and down. Rainier, all of them, all up and down the West Coast, right? But the one that people don't know about, that they miss the most, is called the Long Valley Caldera. And that volcano sits right below Mammoth. It's on the California-Nevada border, and that is actually a super volcano. It has the potential to be a Yellowstone eruption. And that baby is making noise. It is rumbling, and it will be very, very bad if there was a major eruption there. So
I wish I had the clip from 2020 with Woody Harrelson right now.
Oh, that's where he watches it all coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neutrinos.
The whole ring of fire has been going crazy. It's just the West Coast is really actually locked out because the ring of fire has just been going crazy. It's a miracle that it hasn't, for some reason, the United States has been pretty much saved, or that's just all building up. And that
in your book series, the new West Coast was Nevada, correct?
In my book series, so it starts out with like the Tahoe ranges, and it comes into Arizona in the first tsunami. And then during the second ocean level rise, it comes up all the way to the Rockies and even takes over Nevada at that point.
So I'm cool.
Yeah, it comes all the way in. Yeah. And that's there was a prophet, Edgar Cayce, and this guy was amazing, right? He could just like forecast stuff off of your energy. He could read books just by sleeping on them. It was incredible stuff. And so whether you buy into it or not, but this is what Edgar Cayce foresaw. So the maps that I use for my story are actually the world that he saw through his visions and whatnot, kind of like a Nostradamus.
That's how Dale tries to read books, by sleeping on them.
Am I sleeping on them?
He reads a ton of books that way. Wakes up, read another book.
I wish, dude. I'd put the audio book on, you know, if I could absorb it that way.
But he ain't no Edgar Cayce.
Right? Yeah.
That's why Elon Musk stuff is so important.
Off the planet.
Going to Mars. You know, that's the ultimate prep, being able to get off the planet as a species survive, because I mean, they know there's probably been 12 plus extinction level events that have happened on the Earth. Yes. So,
and they attribute like every one to a meteor, and it's just not, factual. So now bringing the sun into it really is solving a lot of the problems that they had with their theories. And so when that the shell of the sun. They talk about the black sun, like Khufu, he had a black sun disk instead of a sun disk. He was the only Egyptian ruler who had a black sun disk. Well, they think that the sun goes through these periods where it actually the shell will harden and then it just blasts out like a shotgun blast. And they've, you know, there's vitrified rock on the moon, on Mars, on Earth, everywhere. That's all full of these pockmarks. And the only thing that can vitrify rock is nuclear energy. It has to be that hot. So when it blasts out, it just causes this stone to just turn to glass. It's pretty cool stuff. I don't know. I'm into the earth. So, you know, changing earth.
This show just got depressing. We're all screwed.
Sorry. I don't want to live underground, so I'll just be like, peace.
Yeah, like I said last week, I'm just, if something like that big happened, I'm just going to sit on my roof and watch the show. There's right? no preparing for that crap. Yeah. I wonder, do you think Elon Musk has got a bug-out space station? I bet
well,
he does.
Well, it would have to have some really good shielding on it, because the more and more they learn about these Nova Blasts and about that kind of stuff, they really need to shield up. It doesn't take very much to throw the space station out of line. It doesn't take very much to throw our radar systems off. And, you know, they've had to ground planes and stuff all over in Sweden multiple times and everything just because of these little CMEs. So I think we're really missing a big piece. I know CMEs is like, oh, that was so 90s. But,
well, Brian and I were talking about it last week with there's so much stuff going on right now. We can't even talk about that stuff because it's almost too hypothetical compared to the pandemic and, you know, the Great Reset and all that crap. It's like EMPs. Who's gonna?
However, if that happens, all that other stuff will mean nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Who knows? With the way things go, you think you got something figured out, and then, you know, hell freezes over in Texas. You think you got something figured out, and then, I mean, just who knows what's going to happen. So,
what's God's favorite joke? Humans making plans.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, so, you got anything, Brian?
No. It was a good time, man. I'm glad you guys are doing all right and back into the land of the warm and.
Yes.
All that down there. So go get that firewood.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not like, I was telling Brock, I'm like, man, it's been getting cold. Our pool is going to freeze. I mean, I'm from Michigan. I'm like, our pool is going to freeze. He's like, no, babe. It's got a moving pump on it. It's not going to freeze.
That'd have been my thought process.
Our pool, right? Yeah. I'm like, our pool is going to freeze. So then I slept in after Valentine's Day. I slept in the next morning. He's all, hey, come here. I just want to tell you, you were right. Pool froze. I could have gone ice skating on that thing.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get out of here, once again, let everyone know where they can find your audio drama, your podcast, and all that stuff. Really cool. Fun to do. And it actually turned out, I was wondering how well it was going to turn out when you got all of us yahoos that have no idea what the hell we're doing. But it actually, where'd you get all the sound effects for that too? I was curious about that. Cause is there some place you go that just has a whole bunch of different sound effects and you grabbed them or?
Yeah, there's a place that's called freesound.com.
Freesound.
And you can filter it out. So it's just Creative Commons. So it's all free available sounds. And so it might not be the perfect sound when you find it, right? So I'll filter it out, take the pieces that I want, that kind of stuff out of there, and use those. There's all kinds of sounds on Free Sound. Be careful. I'm just saying, be careful what you put in the search bar because, I don't know. But, but yeah, Free Sound is where I go. I've donated to them because it's all free and it's a great place. I couldn't do that show without that site. So, and then some of my actors, like, or my performers, I should say, when there's a sound for their, like, it's written, you know, in the script, they'll actually do the sound as well. So some of the eating sounds and things like that are the actual actors. And then I've produced some as well, you know, to fit. I'm like, oh, I can't find that sound. So we take it. I have a snowball microphone. And so we take the snowball around and we'll get certain sounds and things like that.
Just
so,
going around your neighborhood making weird noises and shit.
Yeah. Or like at the MMA gym. And when you're putting it together, all of your guys' audio, because nobody records together except for me and Brock. So you guys are all different voices, right? So when they come in, I have to put all the voices in the right order, make sure they're all at the right volume and everything. And then once that's done, I start layering in those sounds. And it's really like producing music or like an orchestra or something. And it takes me, depending on how, you know, some of the gunfights and stuff, depending on how, how intricate the sounds are, it can take me like an hour and a half to do 2 minutes of audio.
Yeah. I wouldn't have never done it. I'd have given up.
Yeah, it can be really, really intense. So it is definitely a labor of love. And I really appreciate members who help me out with paying those bills. Cause it's really, it's a labor of love. I have a lot of fun doing it though too. So
yeah. Well, tell everybody one more time where they can go to check that out.
ChangingEarthSeries.com. Just go to ChangingEarthSeries.com. Really simplified. You don't have to know my whole name and everything. ChangingEarthSeries.com.
And then your podcast and all that, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, that, anywhere that.
Yeah. And the audio drama's there. I mean, I put that out with my podcast. So if you subscribe to my podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, any of those, one episode will be the audio drama. One episode is the live show that I do with Chin Gibson.
Cool. The infamous Chin. Yeah. We had him. We had you guys both on our show in the very beginning. Yeah. That was a fun show.
Yeah, he saved the Changing Earth podcast. So
yeah,
kudos to him. Yeah, I just time-wise, you know, I was running out of time, and he was like, "No, you can't quit. You can't quit. What do you need?" And I'm like, "I need a co-host."
You?
And so he, yeah.
Well, cool. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on. We'll have to have you on again with Chin too. We'll do that like we did the first time, where get all four of us trying to not cut each other off and all that. It was a fun show though.
And if I can, too, give a shout-out, I'm going to be teaching two classes at Prepper Camp this year.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have the time and you want to get out there, Prepper Camp is an awesome event. You can meet me in person. I'm going to be doing a self-defense class and an urban survival class. So come on out. The whole gang's there, and you're just going to have a ball. It's not like... you know, you get to camp with us and talk with us, and we're all real people, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, Sarah, we will talk to you later. When do you plan on having season two come out? Whenever? There's no set date?
So I'm almost... No, I always have a set date. I'm a prepper. So I want to get the performers their lines by, like, July, so that the students that I have can do it while they're on summer break. And then I'm thinking of airing them end of August, September, definitely September, October time.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate you having you on this week. Got anything
Thank
before
you for
we,
having me.
Yeah. Yeah. Got anything before we get out of here, Brian?
No, man. Hope everybody has a good week. See you on Friday.
Yep. Talk to everyone later.